in our study of Exodus, God is showing us how to exit the life of bondage and how to enter the life of blessing. God is giving us vision and faith to follow Him every day, all the way on our journey to the promise. That's pretty incredible. This is what God has for us in His Word. He's going to show us the way because He has blessing for us, His people. We've already learned that on our journey to the promise, the first thing we learned is that God leads. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. We don't have to walk around in the dark, bumping into things. We can follow God. God leads. The second thing we learned, the second truth is that fear is not our friend. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to fall for the enemy's tricks and fall for fear. Fear is not our friend on our journey to the promise. So while you're opening up your roadmap, which we talked about the first week, which is our Bible, our roadmap on our journey, open it up to Exodus 14. As you're doing that, I want to catch us up onto where we are here in this journey to the promise. Again, the Israelites, they've been in slavery for 400 years. Moses was called by God to lead His people out of slavery. God showed up and He performed miracle upon miracle. Those are the plagues that happened. They did not touch the people of God, but they did touch the enemy, so much so that it caused the enemy to say, "Leave, you're free." And so God freed His people from slavery. But He didn't just open up the gates and say, "Hey, you're free." God took it a step further and He led. He said, I've freed you, but now I want to lead you to my promises that I have for you. I want to lead you to the promised land that I have for you, my beloved children. And so He began to do that. But here's where we are presently. Right now we find the Israelites are between a rock and a hard place. Or more specifically, between a sea and a very upset Egyptian army that's about to come down on them with everything they have and take them out. There appeared to be no way out. At the end of our study last week, we recall that the Israelites reacted to this seemingly hopeless situation with fear. They got fearful. And they said some crazy things. Remember the crazy talk that went on? "We're afraid. Why are we out here? In fact, we just want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to slavery." Crazy talk. Crazy talk. Moses began to set things straight. And he began to lead the people once again with the following statement. Moses said in verse 13, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see." I love that. You will see. If there's somebody in the room right here that seems like the enemy's all over you and there's no way out, take this as a word from the Lord. You will see. Do not be afraid. You will see the deliverance of the Lord. The Lord will bring that to you today. Today, the Egyptians, that happened to Jimmy last Sunday. He needed deliverance in his body. He needed healing. And the Lord brought it to him on that day. And then Moses continues. He says, "The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So Moses reminded the people in this seemingly hopeless situation, he reminded them that there are people of promise and that God has a promise for them. When God leads, He's going to deal with our enemies. He reminded them of that truth also. So today we're going to encounter once again another truth about God's leadership, and that is that God will make a way. That's the title of today's message. God will make a way. God leads. Don't be fearful because God will make a way. He will make a way. And within this truth, we're going to look at four more promises. I don't know why it's four in this series. I don't know why God's given us four promises every single message, but that's just the way He's leading us right now. Four more promises from the Lord as we look at this reality that God will make a way. Again, Exodus 14, beginning in verse 15. God's word says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground.' God continues by saying, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through the Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Pretty awesome. Remember, God will make a way. He will make a way, and he'll do it his way. But here's something that we're finding out in this passage of Scripture. Promise number one. When God leads, we are called to take action. When God leads, we are called to take action. Again, back to verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And then he says this, look at this word, tell. Open up your mouth, speak something. Tell the Israelites to move on. Then he says something else. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea. God is telling Moses to take action. Moses was praying. Moses was asking God for help. But God turned it around on Moses and he said, just do it. He said, just do it, Moses, just do it. Now let's be clear. It was good for Moses to cry out to God. It was good for him to be asking God for help, for direction, for God to show up. However, God answered Moses' prayer. As he was crying out for help, God answered his prayer by reminding Moses that he had the authority and he had the God-given power to take action and just do it himself. You see, Moses was called by God, was sent by God, to be used by God to deliver the people of God. And God, when he sends us, he gives us the authority that we need to do the things he's called us to do. And we're walking in his power when we are being led by God, even to lead others, to lead our families. Parents, are you called to be a parent? Yes, you are. If you have kids, you're called to be a parent. God has given you all you need for that. All you need. He's given you the authority to be a successful parent, and he's given you the power and the wisdom to be a successful parent. You have it all from God. You see, Moses needed to be reminded by the Lord, you already have the authority and you have the power. Now just use it. Use it. God's people, that's us, by the way. Remember we talked about that in week one of the series? We were reminded that the Israelites are God's people. But now, those of us in Christ Jesus, we are now God's people. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are God's people. Amen. And so as we look back at Exodus, we see how God deals with his people, how he leads his people, and we take this to heart because we're now God's people. How do we relate with God? How do we interact with God? How do we follow God? How does God lead us? And what are the promises associated with that? And so as God's people, asking God for help is good, just like it was good for Moses to ask God for help. It's good. In fact, praying for things to change is one of our weapons, is one of our responsibilities as the royal priesthood, as the people of God, as intercessors. That is one of the weapons, one of the most powerful weapons we have. We talked about it in the men's summit yesterday. That weapon of praying in the Spirit at all times. Praying at all times. It's a weapon that we have. It's an offensive weapon that we have to cut down the enemy and to crush him. Prayer. It's a weapon and it's a responsibility that we have as the people of God. However, as God's people, we also have the responsibility to take action and to use the spiritual authority that God has already given us over a situation. We have that responsibility. And that privilege, too. Yes, we're called to pray for God's kingdom to come. We were reminded of that by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said this. He said, this, then, is how you should pray. How you should pray. Prayer, extremely important. Make sure you're doing a lot of it. At all times, God's Word says. Pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Pray for your kingdom to come. I'm praying for your kingdom to come, God, and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we know as a people of God that we have the responsibility, the obligation, and the privilege of praying for God's kingdom to come. And we need to be about that. In fact, one thing that we're doing currently, Dee Brown is working with me on this right now, and we're coordinating with the Center for Arizona Policy, and we're going to have them over once a month to our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And we're going to be praying for God's kingdom to come into our state here into Arizona with them, partnering with them, praying for the kingdom of God to come as it is in heaven, praying for the kingdom of God to come in our marriages, in our families in the state, praying for the kingdom of God to come and that the unborn would no longer lose their lives in their mother's wombs, praying for the kingdom of God to come that religious freedom and the righteous standard of God would be lifted up in our state. We are to pray and be the intercessors and praying for God's kingdom to come in our land today. And when God's people do that and humble themselves and do that, look out. Things begin to change. Yokes begin to break. The kingdom of God does begin to come. So we're called to do that. But Jesus also, he calls us to step out and to take action, to use the gifts and the strength, the life, the breath. You woke up this morning. That's a gift from God. You have breath, you have strength, you're here. That's a gift from God. We're called to use that and actually take action and bring God's kingdom into the world, into the relationships, into the rooms that we walk into every single day. To take action. Check this out. This is found in Matthew 11:12, and again, Jesus. You want to hear what Jesus is saying to you today? Here's what it is. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women of action lay hold of it. And Jesus said this in Mark 11:23, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, I just watched that movie last night with a family, little boy. If you just say to this mountain, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he has said will happen, it will be done for him. There are mountains that we are called to speak to and tell them to move. There are mountains that we run into every single day that we are called to just remove in the power and the authority of Christ Jesus and say, be gone. You should not be here. You should not be in my family. You are trespassing in my family. You're trespassing in my life. You're trespassing in my community. Be gone. I throw you into the sea. The people of God taking action. Taking action. There are times when we are to ask God to move on our behalf. And then there are times when we, God's Spirit-filled people, his ambassadors, his agents on this earth need to stand up and speak to the mountain. There are times when we need to speak to the sea, when we need to speak to the situation. There are times to ask God to move it, and there are times that we are to stand up and move it in the power and in the authority of Jesus Christ. There are times when you're praying for somebody. And I'm just going to get real right here. There are times when you're praying for somebody for healing when it's okay. In fact, it probably should happen more than it does in the church today where we move past asking God for healing. And we move into speaking healing to come. We ask God to remove that tumor, remove that sickness. But then there are times when we have to stand, speak, stretch out our hand and tell that tumor to be gone and to be removed. It's both and. You see? Do you see the both and that we have right here in doing life with God and how God leads us? We ask and he moves. And then he'll flip it over to us and say, now you move and you stretch out your arm and you open your mouth. Walk in authority. Walk in authority. What a privilege. But it's also a responsibility. God's ways are amazing. Let's get on board with it, man. Let's continue to learn more and more and walk in it. And it's okay to take baby steps. You know, it's all right, man. I'm doing it all the time. I'm taking baby steps. But God, please help me continue to take baby steps toward what you have for me. Please, oh God. Matthew 16:19. Jesus again. I will give you, my disciples, my followers, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus told his disciples this another time too. It's found in Matthew 18:18. He said it a couple times. It's recorded twice in God's word, this same truth. Sometimes we need to hear it twice. Maybe three times, four times, maybe more. We've all heard this before, right? We need to hear it today. For some reason, you need to hear this today. So promise number one, when God leads, we are called to take action. We are called to take action. You know, I just want to speak to this very, very quickly. Sometimes we believe that as Christians that we're just supposed to curl up in a ball and just be quiet Christians. That's not true. It's not true. We need to use our voices and use our energy for God's glory and for His kingdom. We're followers of Christ. Followers don't sit on the couch. Followers get up and follow. Followers walk with Jesus. And when they walk with Jesus, and you're walking with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God Himself in you, and you walk into that room, you walk into that restaurant, you walk into that office, you walk into that meeting with whoever it might be that God's putting you in touch with, you're walking in not to curl up and to be quiet, but you're walking in to be the ambassador of God, to bring and exhibit and give the love of God to the people in that room, and to speak the truth of God into those situations and into those lives, and to bring the real practical help that people need at this time in their lives. We're to be like Christ and follow Him in all of those things. Promise number two, let's keep rolling. When God leads, He protects us from our enemies. Continuing, verse 19. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other. So neither went near the other all night long. Again, when God leads, He protects us from our enemies. Look, God allowed, and we talked about that, you know, in the last couple weeks, how God will actually allow and even cause at times the enemy to come and attack. And at times, God will lead us into very precarious, seemingly dangerous, seemingly hopeless situations. God will lead us into those places. But here's the reality. God will not allow the enemy to destroy His beloved children. On the contrary, God moved in power to protect His people. And He's doing this for His people, for you and me today. He's moving heaven. He's moving the angel armies. And He's putting them in place at just the right time for His people. It doesn't mean that we won't have difficult situations, but it does mean that God is going to deliver us. This is a promise throughout God's word, and I want to read all of Psalm 91. You can turn to Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, we just see echoed just statement after statement, this truth that God is for His people, and He is all we need. Verse 1, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. You know who that is? That's the person who's hidden their life in Christ Jesus. That's the person who is following God on their journey to the promise. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Look at that word, Almighty. Nothing, no one mightier will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely, it's a done deal. He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Come on. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, draw near. Draw near to Him. Draw near to Him. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in His hand so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's God's word over his people. When God leads, he protects us from our enemies. Promise number three, when God leads, he makes a way. He makes a way. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Check out this situation. Continuing in verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. So he did what God told him to do. He just did it. Do it. Okay, I'll do it. Yeah, you that kind of guy. You that kind of woman. Do it. Okay, I'll do it. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. I got to show you this movie clip. Check it out. It's from back in the day.
Israel will be touched. He opens the waters before them, and he bars our way with fire. Let us go from this place. Men cannot fight against a god.
Better to die in battle with a god than live in shame.
Raise God and down into it!
That happened. That happened. God moves heaven. God moves earth. God splits seas. God even causes the sun to stand still in order for His purposes and His plans for His people to be accomplished. God does it. God makes a way for His people. The splitting of the sea. This is what we got to remember. It was real and it brought deliverance to a people that their fate seemed hopeless. They were to die. They were to be finished, completely finished. But God showed up. He split the sea. That event was a foreshadowing of what God was about to do in history. That He was about to split the sea of sin. He was about to split the sea that divided man from God. And He was about to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to do that. The deliverance and the splitting of the sea was a foreshadowing of Jesus coming and being our deliverer. The deliverer for all mankind. And now all of mankind has the opportunity when their back is against the wall or against the sea of life. And the enemy is coming down and it looks like I'm a dead man. I have no hope. I am lost forever. They can turn and see that the sea that they thought was going to destroy them has actually been split. That the cross that Jesus went to split the sea of life. And that they can turn and that they have a way out. They have a way to life and life everlasting through the cross, through Jesus Christ. He has split the sea for us. And it's real. There is real freedom in Jesus. It's not just a fairy tale, a story, a happy thought. It's not, as much as it is a doctrine, it is a reality. It's a doctrinal reality for our lives. The sea of sin, the sea of destruction has been split. And Jesus has made a way for us. Jesus is called the way, the truth, and the life. He's made a way for us. Romans 5, 8 through 10 says this, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while the Israelites were still complaining and saying, oh, we're dead, we want to go back into slavery, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He made a way for us. Since we now have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Jesus is the way. Through Him, Jesus. For if then we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Jesus made a way for us. Eternal rescue for mankind. Daily rescue for us, for me. He's my daily rescue. He's my daily way out. He's my daily redeemer. He's there for me. He's made a way for me to choose life, to walk in it now and forevermore. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Have you taken the way out? Have you? Have you personally taken the way out? Have you turned to the cross of Jesus Christ and received reconciliation through Jesus? Have you received freedom? Have you walked away from the old, from sin, from destruction, from hopelessness, and turned to Jesus and walked into new life in Him? He has split the sea for you. New life is available for you today in Him. The way out is here today for you. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. At the end of the service, you're going to have an opportunity to say yes to Him. Don't miss it. Don't remain with your back against the wall with the enemy attacking you. Choose Jesus. He loves you, and He's made a way for you today. Maybe as a child of God, you've been feeling like the enemy has been surrounding you lately. Like the Israelites, the people of God there, and like there's no way out. And you just need to be reminded today that Jesus has already made the way. And He is already the way in your life. And this morning, God just wants to remind you that He's for you. You might even hear the Lord even saying to you right now, just turn to Me. Turn to Me. I've made the way. You will not be crushed. You will not be destroyed. I'm for you. I'm for you. So God made a way for His children on the banks of the Red Sea. And He's still doing it for His people today. I love what it says in Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. It's happening right now. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I'm making a way in your life, in your situation. I'm making a way. Let's go to the fourth and final promise. When God leads, He crushes our enemies. When God leads, He crushes our enemies. Verse 23, the Egyptians pursued them. They pursued the people of God. And all of Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen followed them into the sea. But during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and the cloud at the Egyptian army, and He threw them into confusion. The Lord can throw your enemy into confusion. He'll do it. Now, He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand. Move in that authority. Move in my power. Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The waters flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. Now, look, this is what I see. This is the truth I see. I see that God not only leads us away from our enemies, not only protects us so that the enemy will not destroy us, but God actually has the intention and the desire to completely crush our enemy. He's not satisfied. He's not okay with us just putting up with the enemy in our lives. Okay, I'm going to set you free from that besetting sin, but I'm just going to let it keep coming back and driving you back and keep haunting you and keep jumping all over you and keep confusing you and keep you in fear. No. God has complete freedom for His people. God's desire and His plan is to completely crush the enemy. Destroy the enemy. I love what it says in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. He who has delivered you, He who has given you new life, He who has distanced you from the enemy of your soul will finish it, crush the enemy, and bring you all the way into the promise. Being confident of this, Paul said, I am confident of this. This is a done deal. God will complete it. He'll do it because He's God. He's God. He's God. So then, how should we respond to the enemy who's coming after us? Should we fear? No. Is it hard not to fear? Yes. Let's be real, okay? It's hard not to fear. It's hard not to doubt. But we got to say no to that. We got to look to God. And we got to walk forward in confidence. We have to raise up that standard of righteousness. I think of Moses raising his hand and stretching it out over the sea and his staff. That's like a standard of righteousness. That's the righteousness of God. That's the power, the authority of God. That's the truth. That's the word of the Lord and the promises of God, that He's raising up that standard of righteousness. And that's what we're called to do. When the enemy comes in at us like a flood, we're to raise up the standard of righteousness and let God part the seas and allow us to walk through. Let me conclude and the band can come up. Verse 29, but the Israelites, they went through the sea on dry ground. The people of God went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead, their enemy lying dead. Not them, but their enemy lying dead. And when the Israelites saw the great power that the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. God is God. There is no other. And God is for His people. And God makes a way for His people. He has made a way for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. He split the sea for you so that you can walk forward on your journey to the promise, to eternity with your loving Heavenly Father. He split the sea for you. Jesus going to the cross. He split the sea of sin that it would no longer control us or keep us bound up. Jesus split the sea of pain. He took it upon himself on the cross. Jesus split the sea of separation, no longer separated. The veil has been torn. Through him, we have relationship with our Creator. He split the sea of separation. Jesus made a way for us to enter eternity with our God. It's beautiful. It's the goodness of God that he's shown you. Let's stand up. I'd like for us to sing that reality about him splitting the sea. And if there's a sea in your life, if there's an obstacle in your life that seems like it won't move and it's got you hemmed in, I want you, just in faith even right now, as you're thinking about that sea, declare the truth that the sea has been split. Jesus has split the sea. He is your way out. He's made a way for you, and he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it.
Fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me, so I will stand and sing that I am a child of Christ. With the sea, you split the sea so I could walk right through.